Welcome to Digital Talk Show, and I'm super excited to have Akshay, the founder of Shebang, one of the most creative digital marketing agencies I know of, and also I admire them for their growth in the last few years. Congratulations on your growth, Akshay, and I'm very happy to have you on board today for the Digital Talk Show. Are you ready to inspire folks in the digital marketing fraternity?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Saurav. It's good talking to you as well. Of course, I've been watching some of your content as well on YouTube and following you on Instagram. So it's good to be talking to you now. Looking forward to the session and sharing as much wisdom as I can potentially.
Awesome. Thank you. Let me break this session into two parts. I'm going to ask you questions about your journey okay. and about career in digital marketing. Because this is going to inspire many of those folks who are going to watch this, because I have quite a lot of students will be interested in getting into Shebang. So they will get to learn from this particular interview of yours. So here's the first question for you, Akshay. And the question is, can you tell us about your journey from being a finance analyst to becoming a marketing professional? How did that shift happen?
Sure. So I'll take a couple of steps back into college. So, you know, I was always one of the nerdy, geekier guys, interested in learning as much as I could. I was always the teacher's pet in a way, you know, trying to do as much as I potentially could, you know, learning as much as I could, participating in as many, you know, different clubs and extracurriculars as I possibly could. And I realized that at the age of 20-21, you know, I still wasn't sure as to what I want to do as a long-term, you know, career for myself. And, you know, you're always given the option saying that either you can pick finance or marketing, right? So I went up to my head of coordinator and I said, listen, why can't I do both? She's like, we've never had the request, but okay, you can do both. So I actually did finance and marketing both in my last year of BMS in HR, College of Commerce and Economics in Bombay. And I actually specialized in finance, in fact. And I realized that, you know, I always had an inclination towards marketing, but finance is something which I was interested in because I thought I can learn numbers, and I enjoyed numbers as well. So I thought I'd learn a bit of finance and see where that goes. In fact, I gave my exams in finance. I scored my lowest marks in finance. And, finally, I found a job as a financial analyst in an upcoming, you know, financial analyst kind of a company that was working with many, you know, startups plus, you know, VCs and PE funds back in the day. I was helping them do valuations of these companies specifically to invest in. I worked there for about 6 months and I absolutely hated it. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, I've learned enough of what I need to learn. I've learned how to read a balance sheet, a P&L. I can use Excel without a mouse. I knew all the macros. I knew all the shortcuts by heart. And I was like, okay, now it's a good time to switch to marketing, because I knew marketing always had my heart, but my head said, okay, let me try the finance at some point in time, you know. I remember, like, I left, I quit my job on a Friday. That weekend was Diwali. I joined on the coming Monday. I joined my marketing stint at Foxymoron. I joined them as a content writer. Again, back in the day, we only had SMM, social media marketing. There was no digital marketing as such back then. It was about content writing tweets, writing content for Facebook. And I joined them, you know, in a young company, 8 people. We had no idea what we're doing here, but we said, okay, fine. We know that, you know, social media marketing is the future. Let's try and see where this is going. And I think it's been 11 years now. I've stuck on in the industry. I think I can't complain, because a lot of what I learned back in the day in my finance helps me now as an entrepreneur, right? Like, I'm able to really understand numbers. I'm able to understand my P&Ls and balance sheets. And I'm thankful for those 6 months, because it was 6 months of boot camp, but it helps me today. So I've been a strong believer that, you know, like, whatever comes your way, whatever opportunities come your way, take it, especially in the formative years of your life, because, I mean, those are the years where you'll actually learn and imbibe as much as you can. Because once you become 30, 35, it becomes very difficult to switch industries or switch fields, right? So when you're in that ripe 21 to 23 years of age, you know, try as much as you can, because you can really form yourself into something bigger. And take up as many opportunities that come your way, because, you know, that will really help you become something bigger in life after that, is what I feel.
Wow. I you know what? I really appreciate the fact that you did something in finance, because a person in marketing has less interest in finance. You are a guy who was in finance and hooked up to marketing. And I think that's one of the biggest trends that you carry forward as an entrepreneur today. Like how you said, it's easy for you to read PL, profit and loss sheets and all of that. That's brilliant. Yeah. Okay. My next question to you, Akshay, I also like, before I go to that one, I like the fact you said 21 to 23 should keep testing multiple things so that it can help you in your journey ahead, which is fairly a very interesting aspect of how you can look at your career. Your next question right now, Akshay, you're working in Foxymoron and they gave you an opportunity to lead the Delhi business. What qualities or what should one do to stand out in a crowd of 200 plus people?
So I think, you know, because I joined them at a very young time in their journey as well, I was able to also grow with the company. So I think I was able to grow my team from, you know, one person to 15 and 20 people, right? So I think at the age of 23, when they were looking at growing the company and expanding overseas and going to like a different city altogether, they came to me saying, you know what, do you want to give it a shot and not do the MBA? Because I was actually planning to do an MBA. I was saying, okay, fine, I'm going to quit my job now. I'll do the MBA because typically that's what we all do at the age of 23, 24. But I said, okay, fine, let me give this shot because again, I'm too young to, you know better. Let me see how it goes. But I think what really helped me is that I really work long hours. I really work hard. And again, at somewhere came from the fact that if I don't prove, like I usually, you know, I suffer from something called the imposter syndrome, right? Where I keep believing that a lot of what I do is just purely luck. So I keep trying to push myself further to see, can I do little better in whatever I'm doing in life, right? So I try to set these smaller benchmarks for myself. And I think that's what really helped me stand out. So right from picking up the best clients, doing the best campaigns, to winning a lot of awards, for example, I think that helped me actually shine and stand out of the rest. And of course, because I had grown with the company, they saw that spark in me that, okay, fine, this guy potentially is able to imbibe the culture and take the culture to a new city. I think that's what really helped me actually start the Foxymoron office in Gurgaon. Again, I was just 23 that time. I had absolutely no idea of, I never stayed outside of Bombay, to be very honest. Like, first time I moved to Gurgaon, completely fish out of water. I was in a new city, new culture, new people, new office, new clients. Everything was brand new. But I think that those 2 years of staying in Gurgaon and Delhi really gave me the confidence that I can start something of my own. And that's where the confidence of Shebang actually came in, right? But I think perseverance, you know, staying true to your word, being committed to your work. I think honesty plays a very, very important part of even growing in a company. I think transparency plays a very, very important part as well. And if you can imbibe some of these values wherever you're working, actually, it could be in a digital agency, it could be in a finance company. I think these are values which stay very true to your heart. And if you can maintain those, you know, you automatically you will get the opportunities, to be honest.
Awesome. Did you just say that you were 23 years old when you went to Gurgaon?
I was 23, yes. I started at 21, I started my digital journey. Within 2 years, I moved to Gurgaon. So yeah, I was just 23 that time. I was very, very young, to be honest. When I look back and I'm like, 10 years ago, I was just 23. Like, how did I manage in that place? You know, like, it's been a while though. But it was a good experience for sure. Yeah. Again, it comes back to saying, take the leap, right? Take the leap of faith. If it doesn't work, so be it. But if it works out for you, I mean, then sky's the limit, right? I guess.
Wow. That's very inspiring for all of you listening to this right now. I'm sure you guys should be inspired too as well. 2 years of your content journey. You began as a content writer. And how did you move up the ladder? So what happened next after that? Like before you went head to head in Gurgaon sector?
Yeah. So, you know, back then again, content was the only thing that was happening in social media. But I think my growth actually was spiked because of the growth of the industry. I think, you know, that's when media came into being, you know, Facebook introduced advertising. That's when video started picking up, a bit very small, but like, you know, we started working on video content. We started doing photo shoots, for example. We should do a lot of these Twitter trends back in the day, right? So from content, as we started emerging from just writing content to strategy, to thinking of media, to thinking of SEO, websites became a new buzzword back in the day. I think those gave me that learning curve to say, okay, fine, I can't just be a mere content writer. If I've got to grow in the industry, I need to have slightly more, you know, a little more broader understanding of where the entire industry is moving towards. Again, back then, I remember that, you know, data was costly. Like, we used to pay a lot of money for data, right? But it was somewhere opening up, you know, a lot of more telecom partners were coming in. People started consuming a lot more data on their phones back then. We realized that, you know, it's not just going to be the typical static content anymore. you've got to start evolving yourself to learning different aspects of digital. And again, all this SEO, SEM, websites became the new buzzwords back then. So I broadened my horizon from just doing content to then, you know, becoming a leader in strategy, actually, and, you know, strategizing on campaigns, talking to, like, and I was 21, 22, right? But imagine getting into a conference room with, you know, marketing stalwarts who've only done mainline campaigns in the past and trying to sensitize them on digital marketing, right? They of course, they always had that thing that, okay, can I trust a child? But then they knew that nobody else knows it better than a kid, right? So somewhere the respect started growing because they'll be fine. A 22-year-old kid is the only guy who can tell me what's going to work on Facebook as compared to a guy who's 50, right? So I'd rather listen to him than, you know, waste my time with somebody much older. So I think that's the respect sort of came in. And then, yeah, once you're in the room with a bunch of people who are looking forward to learning from you, that's where the respect actually builds a lot. So,
right.
Yeah, that's how my growth then sort of came in from there.
I think it's also a kind of a early mover advantage that we have got. Because we moved in the year 2008, 2009, when it was just the buzzword in the country.
Correct.
So how did Shebang happen, and what is your company structure like?
So I finished my 2-year stint with Foxy, the Gurgaon. I was coming back to Bombay actually in November, December of 2014. And that's when two of my partners, Harshal and Sohil, were also moving out of Foxy Mobile at that point in time. So we sort of got together and said, okay, fine, like, we've been around in the industry for about 5-7 years now, and we know what works and we know what doesn't work. So let's actually build an agency that works on the need gaps of the clients. And we said, you know, there's still not one good independent agency in the country who is end-to-end digital, who's also giving, you know, services from a mainline standpoint, who's able to service a client for any of the requirements, be it online, offline, be it events, be it content, whatever. We said, okay, fine, if we can actually come together and build an establishment that can service clients end-to-end, we can probably differentiate ourselves from the rest of the agencies in the industry. And that's when the thought of Shebang actually came in. So Shebang is, you know, it's a 17th century phrase, the whole Shebang, which actually means completeness or wholeness.
Right.
And that's where the thought of saying, okay, fine, let's actually, you know, craft the name Shebang and, you know, go and provide the whole Shebang to our clients. Like, even our logo unit is a fusion of the hashtag and the exclamation, which in Unix code actually completes the code. So okay, it sort of came together, saying, okay, fine, can we provide a complete solution to clients and differentiate ourselves from the other independent agencies in the industry? And today, I mean, we are about 700 people across Mumbai, Bangalore, and Delhi. We're structured across different departments and verticals. So there's, of course, content writing and, you know, strategy, creative. There's video. So we have like a big video production department within Shebang itself. We have SEO and the media piece that sort of comes together, SEO, planning of media and the buying of media. There's the entire tech part of it. So the websites, application development, business transformation. There's also the branding side to it. So branding and consumer centricity, as well as influencer marketing. So it's the whole spectrum of what a brand would ever require on digital. And that's how we are sort of split among the different departments. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. I think it's pretty inspiring. Again, as I said earlier, 700 people working for you right now. You are empowering 700 families, which is absolutely amazing. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So, Akshay, I like the fact that instead of just giving digital as a solution, you guys decided to give everything which marketing world would require, which is kind of the need of the hour, right? Because instead of working with multiple vendors, it's best to work with one and give everything to them.
Absolutely.
And it's also unified communication, which is very important, because most of the times there's no marriage between what's happening traditional and digital. And when it's together, then the marriage is a lot more easier.
Yeah.
So my next question is, how do you win business and keep clients for a long term? What is your go-to strategy? How is your team structured to acquire new businesses? And what do you do to keep a client for long term with you? And which has been your longest client till date by far?
Sure. So I think I would say we're very fortunate that because we had a pedigree of, you know, building another agency in the past, we had a lot of friends and, you know, peers and colleagues would actually move to different brands within the industry. So I think we're very fortunate that a lot of the people we'd actually worked with in the past came back to us saying, you know what, we'll give you a shot. Let's give you a small project and see how it goes, right? And again, in the first year of your work, of the journey, you actually have nothing to show besides your past work. So we try to sell our clients based on our past experiences, our past campaigns, our past awards. And you know, certain clients gave us a shot saying, okay, fine, let's give you a shot and see how it goes, right? They gave us like a 1 month project, a 2 month project saying, yeah, do this one well. If it goes well, we'll give you the entire mandate. And actually, that's how a lot of the work started coming in right in the beginning. One of our first clients was Finolex Pipes. We in fact acquired them before we had even incorporated the company. So they gave us a shot saying, okay, fine, we are sponsoring a marathon in Pune. Come and do the event coverage for this. Do all the social media posts, make a few emailers for us. And that's how we actually started. So I remember I personally went to Pune doing live tweets on the spot. And you know, you've got to like actually put in all that effort because there's nobody else in the team to do it for you, right? And that's how it was. But I think Touchwood, like, I mean, the first couple of campaigns did go well. The work stood out for itself. We got a lot of awards and recognition. I remember one of our ex-colleagues moved to Godrej. So she called us for a small pitch and we acquired a brand called Godrej Nupur, which was a hair color. And that sort of opened up the doors for all of the Godrej brands within the group overall, right? And I think slowly by slowly, I think the work started speaking for itself. And Touchwood today, we don't go out and build work proactively. We get like a lot of inbound leads. Wow. And I mean, today we say actually no to many companies and we in fact pass them on to our other network. So we have a couple of agencies under the Shabang network who we're also grooming. So we generally pass on these leads to them as well. And they're all ex-Shabangers who started their own agencies. So now we are mentoring them and honing them to also become the next big Shabang. So all the clients that we cannot take up, we usually give it to them to sort of take up forward from there.
Wow, that's amazing. I think that's quite a very interesting move, I would say. Like even at Ecomi, we work with smaller agencies because we cannot accommodate a lot considering that we're a team of about 80 people and there's only limitations. But one thing that I could take away from what you just said, I think everybody's listening to this right now, a good digital marketer is a good digital practitioner. And Akshay started his journey practicing digital. And I'm sure he's continuing to do a lot of activities on his own too here and there, considering that he may want to be updated with the trends. Am I right, Akshay, or you can correct me?
In my gut, right? I don't know any other better way of doing it, right? Like even today, for example, I will still go and correct copies on my own, even though like I'm running a lot more larger things in life, but I'm still writing copy when I want to. I will still go and, you know, put up a post if I need to at some in some cases. And I enjoy doing that because that's how I actually learned on my own, right? Like no one's ever taught you digital marketing. Right? Today, at least there's so many courses like yours that teach people digital marketing. We've all grown on the job. We've grown by reading. We've grown by listening to people online or by talking to people in the industry, right? As much as we can. So I think in my gut, I know that I'm an execution guy end to end. And I enjoy doing that sometimes. Like I enjoy getting into the nitty gritties of those decks and those content pieces or whatever.
Nice. I love that. I always say this execution is everything and you just got that right. So my next question is, in an agency business, I know you said that you do get a lot of inbound leads and you try to close. And I would say Touchwood, it stays like that. My question is, how does one focus on winning a giant? For example, let's say, I'm sure there are multi-agency pitches. So what are some of the biggest attributes that, you know, you think you put into making that presentation, which makes you guys stand out?
Yeah. So I think one is, you know, the differentiator, right? Like how are you differentiating yourself from the other guys who are also pitching against you very importantly? I think for us, that has been the whole shebang and the whole shebang ethos that we actually bring into the room with the client. I think that's one very important differentiator you can find for yourself, which clients can judge you on. Of course, clients will look at your past work. Of course, clients will look at, you know, your current brands that are working with currently. But I think very importantly, if you can also show the client, the team that they will be working with, should they close with you, you know, that gives them the confidence that not only am I meeting the business development team, but I'm also meeting with the execution team. And if you can get your best guys to actually sit with the client and jam with them during the pitch, I think that becomes a big differentiator, which most other agencies don't do, right? And we prefer doing that because eventually, you know, the BD guys will move out. Then the execution team will come in. So effectively, the client should be meeting with the execution guys because they are the ones taking everything forward once the pitch closes. And I think if you can do that well and give the client the confidence that these are the guys who are going to be working with you on the creative, on the copywriting, on the design, I think that's what the entire relationship starts building right from the pitch, as compared to waiting for the pitch to end, then getting on board and then building the rapport. So I think that is one big differentiator that we try to follow.
That's interesting. I think what we do at Ecomi is our focus is BD team definitely works. Of course, the pitching team is on the back end, helping and strategizing. The entire team, but they don't represent the organization. But that's a fairly good thing up there. So the next question to you is, what has been the top three challenges that you face as an agency owner? And how do you overcome them?
I might not have three, but I'll just talk like randomly. But I think one is, of course, you know, getting the right kind of talent. And we've seen that, you know, the industry is fairly small. The industry is fairly price sensitive, I would say. And talent is also fairly price sensitive. Like, you know, people will quit your company for a couple of thousand rupees, right? Like that's how it works. So I think retaining talent, of course, is one big challenge that we all face. And I don't think it's just Shabank. It's, I think, everyone in the industry, right? Like, of course, you can get a good band of senior guys, but it's the juniors who usually are the ones who are, you know, switching. They're always fence sitters, for example. They're looking for either to go and study, for example, nowadays, you know, because last year people couldn't go. So this year we've lost a lot of people to the MBA, right? Everyone's gone abroad and studied because last year they couldn't go. So suddenly we had like a big outflux of people like saying, okay, I'm going to London, I'm going to USA to study now. So I think one big challenge, of course, is always that, you know, how do you retain talent? How do you give them value within the company? How do you make them feel like they are growing within the company itself and show them the growth? And how do they feel like they're learning enough on the job to feel like they're upskilling themselves? So in fact, we have launched something called the Shabang Academy. So it's an internal academy for people to learn digital marketing. So not only are they coming for their own job profiles, but they're also learning different nuances of digital to make them into generalist marketers as well. So that's one thing we've done to retain people. Of course, the culture plays a very important part of how the company is built and the openness, like no cabins behind me, for example. I sit with my teams. It's about the conversation, about the openness. That's one big part of, you know, keeping people, honing people. But of course, with the lockdown being in place and work from home, you can't interact as much with people 1:1, right? Besides being on a Zoom call, unfortunately. So now we've in fact opened up office. People are coming to office once a week. You know, on designated days, so we're actually spending time with the junior teams, the mid-level teams as well. That's one. Second is, you know, I think collections becomes a very, very important part of the journey. Like, you know, of course, the company is growing, you're acquiring businesses, but clients don't pay on time, right? That keeps happening, right? You've got to follow up a lot for payments. And we realize that, you know, even though we've grown a lot in terms of number of brands in the past 1.5 year, but clients still don't pay on time. They will hold you back for more than 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. And that, of course, becomes one very, very challenging part because you cannot stop salaries, right? In fact, we've been paying our salaries before time. So people are at least comfortable that, you know, they're getting the salaries before the 7th or on the 3rd of the month in some cases. And the moment you don't pay a salary on time, people are going to start leaving in any case, right? So it's like a double-edged sword, right? Like you somehow pay them the money, or then you lose the people in case you don't pay them salary, right? So the pressure is always back on the company saying, how can we recover our payments from the clients as fast as possible? And the cycle needs to be as quick as possible. Of course, we have incorporated now many processes to ensure money comes in on time, but that's one big challenge we keep facing even today. I think overall, just, you know, processes has become one challenge as well, because as the company has scaled up so much, how do you standardize processes? How do you standardize, you know, templates, formats that are understood by the entire company? So we've onboarded tools, for example, which allow people to get access to, we have something called a Shabang Wiki. It's like a Wikipedia for Shabang. So all the process documents, all the learning materials, all the case studies are all housed on one platform called the Wiki. We have something called Zoho People, where people can, you know, meet with other employees in the company. All of the HR things are happening on the one app, for example. So we're, of course, building out certain processes and technology within the company itself now, which will help us standardize the entire challenge of, you know, this entire growth that we're facing right now in a way. Yeah.
Nice.
I would say three things there. So I think processes, collections, and people. Yeah.
Right. I think that's fairly good points up there. This is also for people listening. Agencies with processes becomes a lot more easier to manage because it's easy for you to hand it over to anyone. And for the number of questions that people may have, they may just look at the Shebang Wiki and get the idea for themselves, which is a very smart move, I would say. What makes Shebang different from other agencies? And what would be your core expertise if you would want to bring something that you believe you're the best at?
So I think we're independent, right? So we're not bound by a particular group. So I think that gives us the flexibility as agency partners, as agency, you know, founders to do things the way we want to do it. And we're not bound by a WPP or a Dentsu or another large group, right? We're completely independent. Things move the way we want them to move at the pace we want it to move at. So I think that's one big differentiator. And of course, today we are competing with most of the biggest digital agencies who are all acquired by larger groups, you know, and it has become a trend if you see everyone wants to get acquired, but we believe that we do not want to get acquired for the reason that we don't want to ever lose that nimbleness that we have right now as an agency. And tomorrow, why can't Shebang be its own group, right? Why can't we create our own group called Shebang? Why can't we be competing with the Japs and the Europeans in our own way, right? So that's one big difference.
Akshay, all of these are on the record, all right? So...
Oh, bring it, Tammy.
All right. And both the things I'm looking at, number one point, we don't want to get acquired. Number two, we would like to acquire. And I'm sure any of these happens, we're going to go back to this and say, look at what Akshay said. Go ahead. Amazing. I'm enjoying this. Go ahead.
It's a record. It's I'm putting out there. It's I'm putting out in the universe in any case, right? It's right. It will manifest itself in its own way. But, so yeah, I think that's one big differentiator. And of course, I think it's that entire solutions mindset that we come with is what we differentiate ourselves on. And yeah, I think these are the two points that I would say are the big differentiator. And I think, of course, we're still creative by heart, right? So clients will still come to us saying we want a creative solution to our problem, and we're known to be that really kick-ass, you know, creative digital agency who's doing really creative work. Now, of course, we're trying to strengthen our technology side of the business as well, and the entire consumer side to it as well. But I think we're still creative at heart, and which is why clients actually get us on board for the work. Yeah.
Well, like, nice. Being creative at heart is one of the reasons why people come to them. I love the fact that I like the way Akshay said, it just resonates with my thoughts too. Manifestation, and it's in the universe, and eventually it's going to happen. So yeah. I hope your manifestation comes through. I'm a strong believer of manifestations too.
Same, absolutely. Same. Like, I mean, a lot of what I am today is thanks to manifestation. Like, I like putting out in the universe and then let the universe conspire to actually make it happen for you, right? The typical alchemist kind of a thought, yeah.
True. I think that's the superb takeaway. In fact, my next YouTube video is actually on how do you manifest in business. I just recorded it last week. It's on the editing process. And pretty much what you just said is the first or the last line of the video. Okay, which brings to my next question to you right now. Videos, videos, videos. How future ready are you for this industry right now? And what kind of demand do you see coming from your clients on this space?
So I mean, we are ready. I mean, we've been waiting ready for the past 5 years for video, actually. So we have like a 35-member video production house called Shebang Motion Pictures, where we produce content right from your, you know, flat lay photo shoots to also big television commercials. So like recently we shot a commercial with Castrol with Tiger Shroff, for example. So we do all kind of video kind of content, right from small format, big format, testimonials to creative storytelling. In fact, we're shooting 3 films over this weekend also. So I think we're fairly ready to take up any video brief that comes our way. And everything's in-house, right? Right from the content, the script writers, editing, production, directors, everything is completely in-house. So we have, of course, invested like a lot of money and effort into the video production team. In fact, we have our own studio at Shebang. So we have a good 2,000 square foot studio just for photo shoots, for all kind of content creation. So from that perspective, we are ready to take it on. And yeah, I mean, I think today, video sells better than content, which is in static format. So we're always, you know, selling clients on video. In fact, we have videos in our scope of works as well. So we'll give them, you know, 4 or 5 videos every month. We're very bullish on the entire Instagram Reels as well. So we've created something called the Shebangfluencer community, wherein we enable Shebangers themselves to create Reels for our clients. So in fact, all in the video format. So we are very bullish on the Instagram Reels, stories in a video format, long form content, short form. Of course, short form works a lot better. And we see like a 6 second bumpers, 15 seconders work a lot better and effective from a media standpoint. And yeah, I mean, we're ready for this, and it's an exciting time because even video usually sees its own spikes, and you know, of course, clients were not spending much on video in the past for the past year, but now suddenly all the money they've saved is going into video production. So I mean, the next 6 months for us is really, really busy on the production side. So I can touch wood for that.
Nice. I like the fact that you make your team to become influencers in the domain of promoting the products, which is fairly interesting. Which brings to my next question to you. The question is, where do you see the future of influencer marketing? It's just begin now, and I'm sure all of us are getting our hands onto it. So what's your take on that?
So I believe that, you know, influencer marketing is no more about the celebrities and no more about, of course, those will continue as it is and as it has been for the past so many years. But I think that today you and me both are influencers, right? Of course, you have a lot more followers than me and you are a much more macro influencer compared to me. But someone like me who has 3,000 followers, for example, is also an influencer, right? Because I can influence 1,500 people so damn well that they will buy into my belief, into my product, into my service. And we believe that the entire influencer space is actually moving towards this nano, micro influencer space, wherein it is the customers who are advocating content, advocating brands. Of course, reviews become an important part of influencer marketing. In fact, but moving into the entire social commerce piece with influencers, wherein we can monetize and track which influencer is getting us a better ROI by conversions. So we're actually giving influencers a promo code, which people can redeem on the direct-to-consumer website to see which influencer is giving the brand a better bang for the buck.
So right.
Influencer marketing is no more going to be an awareness platform. It's going to be more of a conversion medium as well. Of course, you know, awareness would be the starting point, but it can actually move down the funnel to a consideration and a conversion. And I see that's where the entire industry is moving towards, saying, let's put metrics to the influencers. Let's see how effective they're going to be in a conversion standpoint as well. And don't just go for the 1 million plus guys, but work with the 5 and 10,000 follower people as well, because their clout in their own community is very strong. So that's where I see the entire space moving towards. And today we see like a plethora of, you know, micro nano influencers coming up across the country, right? From, of course, metros for sure, but it's the Bharat, as we call it. It's the Bharat of the country who are actually coming on to your MX Takatak. Of course, TikTok is out now, but the Share Chat, for example, those are the guys who are really going to be, you know, shaping the way the entire influencer space in the country sort of moves itself towards.
Nice. Some really mature thoughts there, I would say. So what is the structure of Shebang like? Like, there are three founders, and then how big is the management team and how does this work?
Yeah. So I think out of the 700 people, we have about 30 to 40 people who form the senior level band in a way. So of course we have, so Harshal, Sol and me, each of us look into different aspects of the business. Then of course we have the department head, so head of business development, head of media, head of, you know, content, head of production. So about 10 people across the different departments. And then of course we have many vice presidents who are the ones responsible for, you know, the servicing of the accounts, who are looking at the strategy, who are actually sitting with the clients in the conference room discussing the overall brand manifestation, the way forward, for example. So that's how it's split among the different leaders in the company. So about 40 people typically is what we see at a absolute leadership level is what we have currently. And then we have the mid guys and then the juniors after that. So yeah.
That's nice. Okay. Tell me the most emotional moment of your life at Shebang. I'll repeat the question. Tell me the most emotional moment of your life at Shebang.
Wow. Emotional moment. It's a tough one. I think recently, when I had like a couple of my very old employees who had actually learned, you know, the tricks of the trade at Shebang, and they'd moved out of Shebang after 3 or 4 years, they came back and just spoke a lot about how those 3-4 years at Shebang were the most formative years of their life. And you know, it just gave me that the sense of the feeling that, you know, I was able to impact someone's life for the benefit of them, of themselves and for their family. Of course, the fact that we employ 700 people, and as you said earlier, like we are giving employment to 700 people, you know, we know for a fact that they are surviving off the salary that they're getting through the company. I think that somewhere just makes us, not makes me not emotional, but makes me feel very grateful for where I am today. And it's only gratitude. Of course, gratitude can then become slightly emotional when you delve a bit deeper into it. But I think just the fact that I've been able to impact so many lives in the past, you know, 7 years, makes me feel very, very nice about the space. Yeah.
I think that's the most beautiful part, right? Two things. One, when you empower people, a lot of times those people, when they are inside the organization, they don't see that value. But when they walk out and they come back to you and they said, you know, I think that was the most important, or I think those were the years that were the golden years of my life that shaped up me. I think that is definitely a great moment to live by. And the fact that you are grateful for that moment, which shows that you are in gratitude for what you've achieved by far, which is
I think awards will come, I think money will come, but I think the respect and love that you can get from people who you've impacted at some point in time in your life, I think that's irreplaceable. That's completely priceless. You can't put a number to it, but it makes you feel nice every morning. Yeah.
Right. So the next question, with respect to the last question, respect to the agency side, what are top five qualities that an agency owner must have? Or you can say even three to whatever you think is you can cover. Yeah.
I think one is that, you know, have foresight, right? Like a lot of people come into the industry thinking that I want to make like a quick buck, cash out quickly, exit and bounce, right? I don't think that's how life works. Of course, you can make a quick buck. Of course, you can earn a quick, you know, valuation. Of course, you can exit quickly. But then you come back to zero again, right? So I think for us, it's always been that, you know, if you're able to look at the foresight and see where can I take this company, where can I take the vision? I think so having a vision is very, very important because that's what will keep you driving every single day. Second is just having that humility is very important because eventually for an agency owner, you are in the people's business, right? You are in a human capital is very, very big in what we do, right? You can't ignore the importance of people. If you're not humble, if you're not, you know, transparent, people are bound to leave you and go to somebody else. So I think having humility, having gratitude becomes very, very important as an owner. I think third is perseverance, very importantly, because you will always go through a lot of shit, you know, and again, as agency founders, as company heads, the buck stops at you in all cases. So you need to have that head on the shoulders and be fine. This is just one more challenge in my pursuit of, you know, of something greater. We will overcome this together as an individual, as a team, be come what may, whatever has to happen, but stay calm in the situation, you know, introspect, don't be rash. Don't be too, you know, like, okay, I'm going to take revenge. Like that doesn't work. You know, introspect for a bit, be calm, take a deep breath and find the most logical solution to the problem. And I think every problem has a solution, very importantly. I think if you can keep that at the back of your mind that, you know, this can be solved as well. If you can keep that at the back of your mind, you'll always think positive and never be in a space where I'm thinking, oh my God, what will happen in case I fail? Of course, failure is going to happen for sure, but think of how can you overcome that failure and learn from that failure becomes very important. So, yeah.
Wow. Fairly good point there. So I come to the end of the section with respect to running an agency. Now, certain questions with respect to career in a digital marketing agency. And are you ready for that segment or are you tired?
No, I mean, we have about 15 minutes, so we can.
So I'm going to take one question there, two questions, in fact. How can one grow faster in Shebang? And what do you look in an employee to grow him faster or her faster?
Sure. So I think very importantly, I don't go by CVs. I don't go by resumes, very honestly. I love looking at people who have done something different in life. They could have, you know, worked at an NGO, for example. They could have worked with street kids. They could have run their own club and failed at it. They could have been entrepreneurs who've also failed. I think people who come with diverse mindsets usually add a lot of value to the company. And that's one thing which I look out for people who are coming and interviewing at Shippang. In fact, today in the morning, I was interviewing a girl who has a lot of mainline experience and a lot of consumer experience. But I think someone like that really helps add value because she can bring her mainline experience of consumers to a digital agency and actually grow her skill sets and train my team to think of consumers better. So I think someone who comes with a different bent of mind actually helps a lot. But how can someone grow in the companies? A, you've got to have the intent, you know, and I think sometimes it's attitude over aptitude. You know, typically people who have a positive attitude towards work, who are coming with the mindset of wanting to learn, they are the ones today who have picked up their own, you know, departments at Shippang. They have, for example, our consumer centricity team and branding team came from a guy in my creative team who said, listen, I'm done with creative thinking. I want to build brands from a branding standpoint. So we incubated him within Shippang itself to grow that department. Our first producer at Shippang actually started his own production house, which Shippang also has a small part with. He said, I don't want to work in the agency. I want to build my own company as well. So we allowed him to do that. So he started his own company. We incubated that for him. And that became his intent to do something with us in the journey to grow himself as well. So I think attitude, intent are very key things we look at for within people. And again, people who come with the intention of learning, very importantly, the ones who ask the right kind of questions are the ones who actually grow a lot at Shippang. And of course, if you stay along long enough in the company, you're bound to grow because the company in itself is in a large growth phase right now, right? So if you can spend those 2-3 years in the company, automatically you will grow towards becoming a leader. And I keep telling all of the youngsters coming in that don't quit your job in 1 year because you won't do justice to yourself or to the company. So, right. You know, spend enough time, spend your time learning the tricks of the trade, and then maybe take 2.5 years, 3 years, and then see what you want to do after that.
Right. I think my next question was, what is that one biggest mistake millennial does at job? And you answered it already. You said that most of them I've seen, they just join a company, they work for them for a year, then they want to jump to the other one. It's become part of the agency culture to hop agencies or industries, which I think is very surprising. And I think one of the fastest growing industry right now is digital marketing. And one of the best, easiest way to climb ladder inside the company is to give that company 2 to 3 years. And that company is automatically going to move you up because they see your commitment to the company, which is a fairly interesting bit of your advice there. So I'm coming to the last part of the session where I'm just going to do a quick rapid fire. And you got to answer those questions in just less than 5 words. Are you ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. Now the first one, you wake up to see a resignation coming from the key most resource next to you. What do you do?
Pick up the phone on them. Bro, what's up?
Okay. Your favorite swear word in the agency?
Which I use or which my agency uses?
Which you, no. Which you use.
I mean, I don't want to say, but I'd be like, guys, what the fuck, man?
Right. Perfect. When a client acts cranky, how do you generally react to it?
So I usually, of course, I do call them up and I calm them down very importantly because I think having a calm conversation is very, very imperative to having a constructive conversation. So I think calming them down, telling them to articulate themselves in a few words helps a lot. So that's how I usually do it.
Makes sense. How did you become passionate about photography?
I picked up a camera back in when I was 15 and I haven't put it down since. You know, I picked up a small point and shoot Sony camera of my father and I haven't put it down ever since. Yeah.
Perfect. Is creativity inborn talent? Justify your reply.
I think creativity can be learned, very importantly. I think it can be honed, it can be learned. I'm a finance guy, right? I'm not a creative guy. And I think I'm a living example of the fact that if I can write creative copies today and actually win awards for those, anyone can do it. Numbers guy writing copy can, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Wow. Agency, work-life balance, what's your mantra?
Try to tune off after 7:30. And weekends are meant to be enjoyed to you know, enjoy your passions. Take the time off and it's okay to put up a phone over the weekend. Yeah.
Awesome. What do you see yourself when you fail?
What do I see myself? Sorry.
What do you say yourself when you fail?
It's okay. This too shall pass.
What is that one thing that you would say to aspiring digital marketer?
Now's a great time to be here. Just stick at it.
Nice. And last one, what is your winning formula?
Winning formula is work hard, work with passion, and I would say just pick up as many opportunities that come your way and never stop learning. Honestly, like I myself today, like I spend my weekends only learning. I'm learning finance again, actually. I'm learning investing. I'm learning finance. I'm learning NFTs. I'm learning cryptocurrency. And just never stop learning, right? You never know where that new acquired knowledge can actually help you in something, in a conversation, in a business idea, but never stop learning. Something which is not within your domain is what I believe. Yeah.
Awesome. Lifelong learning is this key mantra of success, which is fairly interesting. So we come towards the end of this digital talks. And I think personally, I learned a lot because being an agency owner, it's always great to talk to another agency owner because there's so much to learn because every agency works differently. They all look like competitors, but they have their own culture. They have their own styles of dealing with it. And I learned a lot from him. I hope you guys learned it too. So do share this particular video with your friends from the industry because I'm sure every single minute of this was gold mine for me because I'm sure there was so much value for you. All right. So right now we end the session hold on. So Akshay, the video gets over, but okay. We have 9 more minutes and we have some students there and they are students of Digital Scholars. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed the session today. Just let me know in the chat if you had fun. Just go ahead and just say had fun. Put that in the chat right now. And now I would be open to take up 3 questions. If you have a question that you want me to ask Akshay right now, please feel free to shoot your question. And the question is from Nishant.
Someone sent me a personal question as well. So he's asked me, where are you learning NFTs from?
Right.
And Nishant has asked the question actually.
Perfect. Uh-huh. So I'll just take up the question. I think it's right there. You are also getting the same questions. Where are you learning NFTs from, Nishant? Sorry, Akshay.
Yes, to me. So I'm actually learning from. WazirX has their own platform for some NFTs. I'm actually meeting a friend tonight. His name is Raj Shamani. He's an influencer himself. I'm meeting him tonight. In fact, to learn about NFTs because he's been investing quite a bit over there. So actually, like a lot of my learnings are coming by networking. So I'm talking to people who are in this space as well. So in fact, after office, I'm going to be meeting him for a drink and, you know, talking about NFTs. So yeah, awesome. A lot of online resources there.
Awesome. As a beginner, from where shall I begin my digital journey?
So I would say, you know, of course, do a course, learn about the tricks and tips of the digital industry, become a generalist, but join a growing startup, if I would say. Join a company that is also growing because you will be given a lot more responsibilities on the job as compared to when you join a really large group company where everything is already set in stone, right? So join a company which is growing, which has the ability to actually grow in the future. And that's a stepping stone towards something bigger than from there. Yeah.
What's a budget to open a digital marketing agency?
I mean, one laptop, 50,000 and internet connection, 1,000, so 51,000 rupees.
Right. That's enough. In today's age where every street has a digital marketing agency, how do you stand out in the crowd? I think this question is already answered there. So
Find a niche, find a differentiator and find people who believe in you, find a good partner, and that's what you need. Yeah.
Fantastic. How important it is to have a partner to run a digital marketing agency?
Very important because, you know, you can never be a sole entrepreneur, like a sole. I mean, of course, there are companies who are also grown completely by one person, but I think having different skill sets being infused through partners also helps, bring on different skill sets to for everyone to sort of learn from. Yeah.
Perfect. I'll take up one last question from the students. What is the correct way to lay down the foundation for an agency?
There's no substitute to having a great HR person and a great finance person. So when you're growing a company, don't forget that these are the two most important resources you've got to have while starting the company.
Absolutely.
You can have great partners, you can have great writers, but if you don't have a good HR person who can recruit for you and maintain your culture, and you don't have a good finance guy who can maintain your books of accounts and collections, you're going to fail.
Awesome. Two interesting things, HR, because it's all about people.
Yeah.
So you need to have that team very strongly. Because as companies' heads, you can't really maintain the conversations with employees or team all the time. So you need a team that does that, which is a fairly interesting thing. I'll take up one last question because it's coming from a 61-year-old student of ours.
Okay.
But a person like me who's 61 years old and have the inclination of moving ahead in life big time by learning new technologies, how would digital marketing help me in leveraging my effort in terms of time, money, and security in abundance?
Wow, that's an intense question.
Shortest answer for y'all, because I know you have something to catch up at 4.
Yeah. So you're saying that how can digital help you grow? Is that the question?
I think so. How? Yeah. I think he's 61 and he's still figuring out the best thing for his life. So how does digital marketing make him secure? I think that's how, if I could break it and live in life of abundance.
Yeah. So Sir, thank you for the question. It's good that you're actually learning digital marketing at this age. I think commendable, because my parents are also in the same age as you and they don't understand anything of what I'm doing. They keep asking me, saying, what are you doing? What is your job exactly? How are you putting ads on the internet, right? But I think a lot of what you probably can bring to the table is the wisdom of knowing consumers, knowing life, knowing what can work or what cannot work. I think a lot of insights can actually come from the fact that, do you believe with your experience, you know, a certain articulation, a certain, you know, a creative thought can actually work or no, because of the amount of years that you've lived and seen in the past. Of course, digital, you can learn on the job and you can learn what SEO and the SEMs and the content writing are. But I think what you can actually bring is the wisdom of understanding how consumers work for digital marketing. And I think there's no substitute, because as marketers, we're only selling to end consumers who are people. And I'm assuming with the kind of years of experience you have, your understanding of people will be so strong that no one can ever debate that, is where I would think digital can really help you propel you into the next phase then.
Awesome. I think some fairly good advice there. So thank you so much, Akshay, for spending your 60 minutes, valuable 60 minutes with us. This 60 minutes is definitely going to be appreciated by a lot of people in this country who look forward to digital talks, especially a lot of agency heads listen to this segment. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of learning for all of them. Thank you once again for being here, and all the digital scholars. We are digital scholar and we are awesome. Oh, yes. So see you guys in the next session. See you guys. See you in person sometime, Akshay. It's on my mind. Maybe if I'm in Mumbai or wherever you are, I would love to catch up.
I'm in Mumbai. Yes, for sure. Let's catch up.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Take care. See you.